Blog Talk Radio.
Love.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards with Esther Cohn, brought to you by a Team of Voices. Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, one of the largest poetry sites in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so we can geek out live. Of course, Blog Talk is sponsored by A.P. Taylor Foundation. We have shows every night of the week, different themes and different hosts. Tonight, I will be moving forward with the Silmarillion Volume 2, the Varda, Manwë, and Varda, in our Silmarillion series that I've got going on. Hope you liked the intro. They are Tolkien's words layered over with one of them from Howard Shore, Passing of the Elves from The Lord of the Rings. And a little bit about Howard Shore. He was born in 1946, and he's a Canadian composer, conductor, and orchestrator, noted for his film scores. He has composed and scored over 80 films, most notably the scores for The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit film trilogies. He won 3 Academy Awards in his work for Lord of the Rings, with one being the song Into the West. And Shore has also composed a few concert works, including opera, The Fly, based on the plot of the 1985 film, and which premiered in Paris, a short piece named Fanfare for the Rainmaker, and Philadelphia Orchestra, among others. In addition to these 3 Academy Awards, Shore has also won 3 Golden Globe Awards and 4 Grammy Awards. We also had a second song, and it was done with the background of Howard Shore's music, but also written in more Kenya, the language of Kenya, and it was the poem translated that was done for a Lord of the Rings musical, which I don't think I've ever been to a Lord of the Rings musical. That sounds amazing. I'll have to put it on my list to do. And without further ado, I'm going to let our callers in, because we have got a couple of those today. In order of caller, I just muted you. Hello, AP Taylor.
Hi there. How are you going?
Good, how are you?
I am well.
And of course we have Pretty Bird. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
Hello. All right, well, we've got some outtakes from the book that isn't too much. I've got some songs to Elbereth that are from the audiobook, which I had. And I got some poems, so we're going to get right into it. What I'm going to have you do, AP, is I'm going to have you put your poem up first.
You don't have to. You don't have to, Scott. I'm happy to do some reading and stick around for half an hour or so. So you don't have to. Don't have to put me up first. You can if you want, but you don't have to.
Well, I do. That way we have one on topic, and then I'll do the other ones. Yeah.
Okay. Right up. Well, we certainly do have one on topic because I went and did one especially, Scott. So, and I did it to one of the prompts from the book. So let me give you that first, and then we shall do some reading because that's what we're here for, you know, poems and all that stuff. So it is now on the board. And the quote that I used was, all have their worth and each contributes to the worth of the others. Yeah? All have their worth, very Tolkien quote. All have their worth and each contributes to the worth of the others. So Tolkien's very much in my reading about the symmetry of things and how things balance each other out. This is on Butterfly Wings. Goes a little bit like this. In the world, there lies a symmetry. Each tree breathes life while leaves fall to return as roots in proximity, energy taken as branches grieve. And this connection of each to all can be seen in the work ascribed to the seas and the beaches pall, each wave a closure so contrived. Within the clouds that twist on high, their dimensions and tones inscribed, a blue curtain of the darkest sky that provides the curtain to the jar. Each occasion put aside the stings within these lands plenty perceive, the soft beat of butterfly wings, interactions our choices in words. End poem.
Excellent. And I love that you went with the symmetry. And a lot of this, the film really into the creation of Arda, or, you know, what you eventually call Middle Earth, has a lot of themes of nature and connection and how things connect to each other. So I love that you brought sachets of that as well. With, and this connection to all can be seen in the worth ascribed. And when you talk about the beaches, and you talk about nature and the darkest sky and going through, and even with the curtain to jive, I thought that was pretty clever too. In, like I said, in light of when we did the music of Einar last show, you're bringing in so many elements, but more importantly, those elements are very relative. So that's why it's so. You can connect so well with them, with Tolkien and reading his work. And even though he's making up all these things and taking all these things from myths and kind of creating his own world, they're very relatable. They're very, you understand them and connect to them because he connects things to what we see and what we experience in our world as well. And that's what I see in this kind of that aspect of nature and soul kind of melding together. And I thought you did a wonderful job. Did you do that picture?
Yes, that's one of mine. I've just been playing around with it. It's still got a little bit to go, but I thought I'd throw it in there because it's a good picture for the poem.
Is it acrylic?
It is acrylic. Yes, indeed it is. Yes.
Excellent. Well, I love that you put your... Yeah, it's very fitting. Very, very well done. A pretty bird, what do you think?
Well, the picture, I love it. I am not one for art and colors, a color wheel. I'm lucky I can do anything. So I love it when people are wonderfully artistic. And both of you happen to be, which is awesome. But I love this whole butterfly effect poem that you have here. It's lovely. It goes through the circle of life, from the photosynthesis that you know grants us breathable air to how this affects that, and it all comes down to when that butterfly flaps its wings, and you know on the other side of the earth, you know, there's a hurricane, and most people don't really contemplate that a lot. They don't notice that. You have to kind of be a little bit attuned to nature, be observant of what's around you to understand that even in doing what seems to be nothing, it still matters. And we get lost within ourselves, within our realm, you know, because we are all but a grain of sand, where sometimes it's kind of hard to see that we have any effect at all, but that it matters or doesn't matter. And even down to our own interaction with the world at large and people on whatever level, even, you know, you get bumped in the street walking past and then all of a sudden you're in a bad mood, and that kind of, you know, reaches itself into your underlings who get told off for slight things that then changes the effect of this and another thing, and next thing you know, who the heck knows? And good things as well. But I love how there's a gentleness to your words, how it's all in a breeze, kind of like all life in and of itself is carried on the air, and how that air touches everything it passes. And kind of grants the living, you know, like grants life to everything on some level, whether it is, you know, carried on the waves, whether it is plant, you know, carrying seeds, whether it is, you know, underneath those butterfly's wings. And I think you captured all of that so beautifully.
Thank you, pretty bird.
You're very welcome.
Excellent comment. And I do think sometimes people don't realize how much they affect people that they can just see in passing sometimes. So I love that you brought that into it as well. Pretty bird, in your comments. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, AT. And do you guys know anything about the Silmarillion?
Not
a
little bit.
I don't. I've got to read it, Sky. I don't say that often, but I don't.
So this is one book that I had to, it was so dense. I read it and I was like, I don't know what I just read. And I text read it because they didn't have an Audible available at that time. And I text read it and I was just, it had so many names and so many things thrown at me so quick. By the time each chapter ended, I was like, I have so much information in my brain that I can't retain all of it. Like it's just so much, because it was very much like a foundation. So I ended up, and this is the only book that I ever had to do this. This brilliant person does breaks down the book and chapter by chapter on YouTube. It's Silmarillion explained, and I literally had to reread the book chapter by chapter and then watch the explanation just so that it can sink
wow.
in my brain, because it's so much to envelope around, because it wasn't like a clear cut story from back to front. It was like a bunch of stories, but like really like an informational text for most of it, and how everything worked together. There was just so much. But then once I did get it, it clicked. Once I kind of understood where we were, it just clicked very easily. So a lot of people do find it a little intimidating, so much so that he wanted to publish this before The Lord of the Rings, and the publisher said, no one's going to publish this. This is too much. No. And then The Lord of the Rings was published after that. So, he just says, nope, we're not going to do it. But the way that it kind of lays out, the way that he took all these different myths and kind of religions and faiths and kind of mixed them all up and kind of made his own world of creation for the Middle Earth, I just thought was quite brilliant. So I do have a section of the book that I'm going to play. It's only 5 minutes. It's probably my shortest clip series in this one. Not my shortest in this series, but usually I go crazy with clips, but not too much on this series. But I am going to play a little bit of sections of the book so you can hear it. This one's just about Manwë and Varda, just so that you have an idea. And it's from the book. You can enjoy it a little bit. And then we will drop another poem. And throughout, if you guys have anything to talk about or anything you want to say, I don't like to monologue, so definitely jump in. So I'm going to go ahead and play that, and we're going to drop another poem.
Vala Quenta, account of the Valar and Maya according to the law of the Eldar. In the beginning, Eru, the One, who in the Elvish tongue is named Iluvata, made the Ainur of his thought, and they made a great music before him. In this music, the world was begun. For Iluvata made visible the song of the Ainur, and they beheld it as a light in the darkness. And many among them became enamored of its beauty and of its history, which they saw beginning and unfolding as in a vision. Therefore, Iluvata gave to their vision being, and set it amid the void, and the secret fire was sent to burn at the heart of the world, and it was called Ea. Then those of the Ainur who desired it arose and entered into the world at the beginning of time, and it was their task to achieve it, and by their labors to fulfill the vision which they had seen. Long they labored in the regions of Ea, which are vast beyond the thought of elves and men, until in the time appointed was made Arda, the kingdom of Earth. Then they put on the raiment of earth and descended into it and dwelt therein. Of the Valar, the great among these spirits, the elves name the Valar, the powers of Arda, and men have often called them gods. The lords of the Valar are seven, and the Valia, the queens of the Valar, are seven also. These were the names in the Elvish tongue as it was spoken in Valinor, though they have other names in the speech of the elves in Middle-earth, and their names among men are manifold. The names of the lords in due order are Manwë, Ulmo, Aule, Orome, Mandos, Lorien, and Tulkas. And the names of the queens are Varda, Yavanna, Niena, Este, Vaire, Vana, and Nessa. Melkor is counted no longer among the Valar, and his name is not spoken upon earth. Manwë and Melkor were brethren in the thought of Ilúvatar. The mightiest of those Ainur who came into the world was in his beginning Melkor. But Manwë is dearest to Ilúvatar, and understands most clearly his purposes. He was appointed to be, in the fullness of time, the first of all kings, lord of the realm of Arda, and ruler of all that dwell therein. In Arda, his delight is in the winds and the clouds, and in all the regions of the air, from the heights to the depths, from the utmost borders of the vale of Arda, to the breezes that blow in the grass. Sulimo, he is surnamed, Lord of the Breath of Arda. All swift birds, strong of wing, he loves, and they come and go at his bidding. With Manwë dwells Varda, Lady of the Stars, who knows all the regions of Ea. Too great is her beauty to be declared in the words of men or of elves. For the light of Ilúvatar lives still in her face. In light is her power and her joy. Out of the deeps of Ea she came to the aid of Manwë. For Melkor she knew from before the making of the music, and rejected him, and he hated her, and feared her more than all others whom Eru made. Manwë and Varda are seldom parted, and they remain in Valinor. Their halls are above the everlasting snow upon Oyulasa, the uttermost tower of Taniquetil, tallest of all the mountains upon earth. When Manwë there ascends his throne and looks forth, if Vardar is beside him, he sees further than all other eyes, through mist and through darkness, and over the leagues of the sea. And if Manwë is with her, Varda hears more clearly than all other ears the sound of voices that cry from east to west, from the hills and the valleys, and from the dark places that Melkor has made upon earth. Of all the great ones who dwell in this world, the elves hold Varda most in reverence and love. Elbereth they name her, and they call upon her name out of the shadows of Middle-earth, and uplifted in song at the rising of the stars.
Awesome. And if you remember Lord of the Rings, they do sing her song quite a bit in the text in the book, and they bring it into the film, too. And I have a clip of that as well from the book. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you kind of get the scheme of things throughout this series. Obviously, this one we're doing Manwë and Varda. I have a couple. Does anyone want to say anything? I don't know. You guys are so quiet. You guys are chatting up.
Before. What? It's interesting.
You're like,
it's like I was reflecting on
the elves in The Lord of the Rings, because I, of course, haven't read the book yet, but it's really interesting because it was sort of like setting up, in the same way that The Lord of the Rings sets up all of the peoples of Middle-earth, this was like setting up the history of why it happened to be.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, yes. I call it like the Bible of Tolkien, because basically that's what he did, except he mixed different things.
Yeah.
Like there's heavy Greek mythology and Norse mythology,
yeah,
and like you can see the influences and how he kind of took different ideas and kind of just melded them together and said, okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just reflecting on that because I know all the reasons, but I'm not familiar at all. Yeah, so I was just trying to find those connections.
Okay, well, I have a couple IOUs poems, and the first one's from Little Gary. I'm going to have you read one, and then I'm going to have probably Pretty Bird read another, and then I don't know if Deb's calling in. We'll figure that out. But I have Little Gary. This is from the show from yesterday. So Pretty Bird, do you want to just talk about what the theme of the show was really quick yesterday so we kind of know where we're going here?
Oh, sure.
All right. Yeah.
So last night on my little show, it was all about being, you know, feeling like the fool. The title was Just the Fool, all about how, you know, our heart leads us to places we never thought we'd be, and how we tend to go a little bit outside of what we expect from ourselves and what we tolerate and what we do just through depths of emotion, and how sometimes that kind of leaves us feeling a little bit like an idiot, unfortunately. Not that we are, but sometimes we feel that way. So I did have... It was such a wonderful discussion that I time ran short, and so I have three left over, and Skye was kind enough to let me borrow some of her time. So this would be the first of those poems.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the word. Okay. AT, you are all set to read.
Hi. And in front of me, I have Stay by Little Gary, and I'm going to read it for him. Goes a bit like this. I stay low, so I always stay high. I stay in love even though I know it's going to end in goodbye, making me stay in shades when I cry. Until I'm wondering, if they never stay, then why in the hell do I stay and try? I stay broke, so I have to be able to bend. My heart stays torn, so it stays on the mend. I stay creative, so my pocket is always holding a pen. Down here in East Texas, where I always stay, looking for some shade and some wind. While I'm staying so real, they don't have to pretend. Stay optimistic even though I never had any luck. I stay in the country so mud always stays on the side of my truck. While my life stays in a drought, just like my half-empty ass cup, making me stay down while I stay dreaming of up. I stay safe because I'm a scrappy Leo with two fists and a gun. I stay respectful while people keep giving me none. Trying to stay happy, although I never have any fun. But if I stay in last place while everyone else stays in the position of one, you all better know that I have plenty of reasons to stay writing so you can stay reading until I drop my pen on the paper with a wink, because I'm done. End poem.
Excellent. And I'm going to switch things around. Usually I make a first comment, or if the reader reads, I let them make the first comment. But I am going to let Pretty Bird make the first comment, because you were leftovers, and take it away, Pretty Bird.
You know, this is one of my favorites from Little Gary. I had read it once before, and there's something wonderfully optimistic, even through that pain, that there's parts of this, where is it? I stay broke, so I have to be able to bend. My heart stays torn, so it has to stay on the mend. But it doesn't stay gaping open and stagnant. He is doing what he can to try to stay positive despite the fact that there's not a lot of positive things going on. It's all taking the high road of being respectful even though you don't feel respected, and, you know, loving though you're loved says, you know what, you ain't the one. And it's a hard place to be. And I think he did a great job. This, like, this back and forth honesty. I mean, because sometimes that's just how it is. It doesn't matter how many steps forward you take. You just find yourself back where you started or off to the side a little bit, so it's not even a straight view. And to keep on trucking forward, it takes more strength than we give ourselves credit for. So I thought this was a perfect fit for that topic.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Pretty Bird. And AP?
Well, it's interesting because I'm sitting here double-tasking, as you do, and I'm trying to work the sort of lights of the whites and the yellow into the blues and purples at the top of the painting. And in a funny sort of way, that's exactly what little Gary was doing here. He was blending the darks that were sitting behind him with the lights that he was heading towards. And the nice thing about it is the light seemed to win, which was fun. So I love the monorhyme, and I love the timing of the poem, and it was joy to read.
Excellent comment. Yeah, I thought this one brought a lot of himself in it too, when it, you know, it talked about, I stay in the country, so I'm not always staying in the side of my truck. And that one line gives a lot to the kind of person, the kind of places from, and the kind of things that he enjoys. You know, not worried about getting dirty, willing to go out there into the world and kind of truck on through, if you will. And I like that. And it speaks of optimism and how even though he's had a lot of bad luck or he's never had any luck, he's still trying to keep that hope alive and trying to keep optimistic. And I really enjoyed how he brought in his astrological sign. I thought that was really kind of clever. I'm a scrappy Leo. I thought that was, I never really thought about bringing in, I mean, that sounds better than maybe like a poetic Pisces, I guess, right? I guess, I don't know. He's giving me some inspiration here, Gary, but I thought that was really cool. And his poetry is always very, I feel like it's probably very cathartic for him. And you can see it through his pieces. I feel like if you just read solidly his page or if he, you know, published, if you were to read solidly throughout his poems, I feel like you would get a good grasp on who he is as a person, because I see that he has a lot of personal pieces, kind of like how he feels and his perspective of things. And I think that is an awesome way to write, and I always enjoy learning a little bit more about him. Really well done. Thank you for that.
If I may for one moment. I know, it's a good thing that I like to talk. You said something beautiful about mixing like the yellows and the purples and all of this stuff. And my mind went right to sunsets, and what a beautiful idea of crepuscular emotion. I mean, how gorgeous is that? So I just wanted to say that is exactly what your words melded with his words, I suppose, put me. So yeah, inspiration comes in many shapes. So that's awesome.
Awesome. All right. I've got a grass man up here. I am going to put him down. And I just lost something. All right, Pretty Bird, do you want to read?
Sure.
Or do you want AP to read?
I wasn't right.
Oh, doesn't matter to me.
I'm good either way.
All right. Well, you got it then.
All right. This is So Little the Words, But How Big the Meaning by Eggersman. And it goes like this. I'm not here. I'm not there. I'm with you. I am carried like a body part attached. My eyes are yours. Lips too. My hands are guided by connection for touch. I am your protection to keep the pain out. Let me know it instead. I wither in your absence, bloom when you smile, another moment, another kiss. Piling up my heart to bear my fruit that needs no peeling, ripe and edible. My tongue tangle words expressed as balloons without definitions, trying to interpret my pounding heart as a cipher. How does uttering I love you mean anything but everything? And poem.
Excellent. Excellent read. Excellent poem. And what do you think?
I think there is something to be said for the truth, starting with that title. You know, sometimes it's the smallest things that mean the most, whether it's actions, words, lack thereof, you know, silence speaks volumes. And to be connected to somebody that even if you're lacking proximity, you are still bonded through that kind of space and time where you know what you know and you're there when you need it and you kind of jump that gap. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And love is that irrational state of being that lends itself so beautifully to personal euphoria and to the depth of pain that nothing else can, because if you don't care, it doesn't hurt. So it's interesting that love is kind of an action verb, and it's so full of hope that all of this is good things, but it can also simultaneously, because I can speak, be its own opposite. And it's a tough truth to live through or to bear witness to or any of that, because it's never just the one thing, but he brought forth all of the beautiful parts, all of that joy and unity, that connection, which is fabulous.
Excellent comment. And AT, your thoughts?
Well, I was really glad that Pretty Bird got a chance to read that, because I actually think of all of the sort of male poets I know, Gressman writes the most like Pretty Bird. And Pretty Bird sort of always leads with the pieces that get hurt the most. And Gressman tends to do the same thing. It's almost a reverse. Most people write very pretty stuff, and that hides the stuff that can get hurt. Gressman and Pretty Bird lead with the depth of emotion and the things that really hurt the most, and they don't shy away from talking about them. And that's what I love about this poem, and it's exactly what I like about Pretty Bird's writing.
Well, that is an honor, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Excellent comment. Now, I thought this was wonderful. Your read was wonderful as well. And the section here, to bear my fruit that needs no peeling, ripe and edible. I mean, this is absolutely, it was like peeling away the skin, and it talks about I am your protection, and kind of where the speaker is placed, you know, my eyes are yours, lips too, giving of one their whole body and their whole heart and their soul. And when you go through and you go through this emotion, and you kind of at this crossroads where it really could go either way, when you talk about I wither in your absence, when you smile. And there's a lot of power that much power over someone or over the heart, but sometimes love can definitely do that. And I thought this was perfect for your show. And also, Manway and Varder are a little bit of a love story, so I think it also fits here tonight, which a lot of the themes can be stretched across and very relatable throughout. So I also liked, I mean, there were so many parts that I liked, but down here, trying to interpret my pounding heart as the cipher, I really enjoyed how he phrased that as well. Thank you, Aggress Man, I love having you on my show too. Thank you so much. All right. I have one more. It's Deb. I'm gonna read that at some point. But I do AP said a half an hour. You're more than welcome to stay, but I want to make sure that you have time to plug anything that you want to plug. So I'm actually gonna go in order at this point. Yeah, so I'm gonna go in order at this point. And I'm gonna start with too much talking. I'm going to start with Sweet Discussions, which is tomorrow, and she goes live at 10, Sweet Pea, and it's all about the numbers, and this week's discussion will be about science or cult, tomfoolery or numerology, and there's a great deal of debate in the meaning of numbers and whether there's any real science behind it, numerology, so she wants you to play with that. Go where your muse takes you. She goes live at 10. It's really cool kind of topic, and how numbers kind of coincide and the coincidences we get. So she goes live at 10. And on Friday, we have Liquid Damage Lounge. And she goes live at 10 as well. And she does some open poetry, so join Linda at 10 o'clock for some open poetry. And she wrote, can you tell me some jokes, read some awesome poetry here at the lounge if you'd like to participate. I always feel bad I can never call in for her, but I work a double on Saturday, and I don't get out till later. I mean, not a Saturday, Friday. But I do think about you, Linda. And then Saturday is your show, right, AP?
It is. And so we normally have Linda rule the airwaves with some of the world's worst jokes, but she tells them so cleverly that they're still funny. I don't know how. And she just has a group of people that come along and join the airwaves, one of whom is Carmine, who's wonderful. He's in his 90s and just a brilliant poet. So, just a different group of people there with Linda, which is wonderful. And then instead of me mixing in sort of some sets of yellow and purple down to white, I have a smaller one-hour-ish open poetry show that we go through on Saturday night and drop your poems. I do a fair bit of reading. So if you like sort of English-Australian accents, it's the show to go to. If you don't, then it's probably the show to avoid. That's the show coming up on Saturday night now that Blog Talk is back. And I'm back.
Awesome. Sounds great. We are off Sunday and Monday, and I should never do this. I don't think. Oh, I did. I wrote for this one. Good. Because sometimes when I go see the topic board, I start going through all the pictures. It is Monday night, personal prompt. And Deborah Lee goes live at 10. She's doing the color series. This week is purple. There's lots
purple.
Of art choices. One photo per person. Everyone picks a photo, and you claim it as your own, and only you write to it. Of course, she has a word bank down there with lots of crayon box colors. They are optional. You can use one. You could use them all. I think Wayne Gent has used them all once. It was kind of crazy. So she goes live at 10. And then on Tuesday, what's Tuesday? Is Tuesday me? I think Tuesday is me. Tuesday is me. It is me. All right, so
yes.
We will be doing Silmarillion Volume 3, Vardat, and we're going to be talking about Olmo and Nienya. And he is like, obviously, he is the ocean. So, I mean, I really can't say. It's kind of like Poseidon. Really, if you want to kind of say,
yeah.
have like a something to go off of. So I really like this one. I mean, I like them all, but same thing. We're going to do a small clip of the book. It is going to be a smaller clip as well. And then we're going to be talking about just a little bit about them. So join me. I go live when I go live. I do like to go live before 9. Sometimes that's not always possible. Right. So there we go.
Well, with all of that, I'm going to exit stage left, Sky. So thank you. And we will catch up soon.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thanks, Pretty Bird. Talk soon.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Pete.
Okay, cheers.
It's just me and you. I hope Just us girls. I know. Brad usually calls in. I'm surprised he didn't. No pressure.
I have been texting him. He might be asleep.
I know. He might be. But he's usually texting me at like 7 o'clock. He's like, what time are you going on? And I'm like, I don't know yet. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll give him an update. Because I hate being that, you know, but it's just the way it is. All right. So you want to hear a little song? It's very short.
Sure.
So
before you do that, I wanted to tell you about that first song. Oh, there's a lag. My bad. I just started talking.
Oh, no.
You can do you. Okay. I wanted to tell you the first song you played. You played two of them, right, at the beginning?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That first song you played had some of the most sublime, like transitional harmonies in human voices. It was lovely to hear them. And it was very, 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 like, it vibrated, like, my essence a little bit when they started with, I think there was, like, 5 different voices. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And it's been a long time since I've heard anything quite like that. I used to clean to Gregorian chants because I'm a freak that way. And some of them were, you know, whatever, noise. But some of them made me just cry or made me stop. I could not sweep. I had to not move and just be in that moment because it vibrates you in some kind of way. And some of those transitional harmonies in that first song kind of did that to me. It kind of made me stop, and it's been a long time since I felt that. So I just thought they were quite stunning.
Amazing. My little musical guru you are. I am. I'm going to have to steal that. I'm going to have to steal your explanation of it made me vibrate. I think that is really kind of like a cool way to describe it. Next time I talk to somebody, I'm going to say that. Don't worry, I'll give you credit. So in the Lord of the Rings, they do a couple of like poems and songs to Varda or Elbereth. And some of the things that I like, and this is why I say to people, like, you don't always have to know the book or the people really, because when I do the topic board, right underneath her name, it shows, like, her alternative names, which is Elbereth, the Star Kindler, Lady of the Stars, Tenuvial, and the Kindler, Snow White. So these are, like, all other alternative names. So I always, like, if somebody took Lady of the Stars and they just did something completely just inspired by that one name, I think that's great. And I find that these characters really inspiring. I like the character write, but also just the words in themselves. But she especially was mentioned a lot in The Lord of the Rings, just in passing with the elves, because the elves just love her so much. So I have 2 clips that I wanted to share. They're short. And one of them, actually, they're both from the audiobook of Lord of the Rings. So one is Snow White, and when they're singing about her, when they're doing this poem, because one thing I like about Tolkien is in his writing, he just breaks out in poems in the middle of his books, which I really enjoy. If I ever wrote a book, which I probably would not be able to, because I'm too, like, I get too scattered and I'll work on one project, and I'll get super hyper-focused, and then I'll stop that project to start on a different project, and I get super hyper-focused, and then it's just a trail of unfinished projects.
Yeah, I've got 14 crochet projects on my bed. I'm right there with you.
Oh, my God. So then every once in a while I'll be like, oh, yeah, I really liked this series. So I have to be short and concise. So I tend to get, just like I get in conversation, one of my friends especially hates it when I'm in a conversation, I'll explain, and I veer off very easily. So I'll be trying to tell you something, and then I'll go off in 7 different directions, and then we'll be lost, and no one knows what I'm talking about, and they're like, wait a minute, what were you saying? And very few people can keep this conversation. I've got like 2 friends that can kind of keep up with me a little bit, but it's really bad, and I feel like if I wrote a book, that's how it would be. Just by the middle of it, there would be like 80 different characters. The plot line would go off in 8 different directions, and no one would know what was going on. But there would be random poems throughout, just like Toki. So this is one of those random poems in his book. All right, here we go.
Snow White, O Lady Clear, O Queen beyond the western seas. O light to us that wander here amid the world of woven trees. Gael Thorniel, O Elbereth, clear are thy eyes and bright thy breath. Snow White, we sing to thee in a far land beyond the sea. O stars that in the sunless year with shining hand by her were sown, in windy fields now bright and clear we see your silver blossom blown. O Elbereth, Gilthorniel, we still remember, we who dwell in this far land beneath the trees, thy starlight on the western seas.
Awesome. I don't know. I love
how it
sounds.
How
I
think to myself while walking.
Really? So you just break out in like random things?
Oh yes, I will sing my own thoughts, and I will sing what the heck I'm doing, and I will sing because I have 4 children, and sometimes, you know, they respond better when you're singing to them than when you're talking to them when they're little, and so I would, you know, tell them to do things while singing, and then they would sing back to me, which I love, and so now that they're grown and don't want to sing, that hasn't stopped me from singing to my damn self, so there you go.
Oh, my God, I love it. I used to, I wouldn't call it singing, per se. It's more like jumping with my voice. I used to do that a little bit, but I used to rhyme a lot to the kids. And they would rhyme too, but I haven't done that in so long, and I don't know when I stopped, but I did stop. But I think probably till my late 20s, maybe I did that. But maybe I should get back into it. But again, it's not singing.
If it's an actual tune, and they don't care if it's whatever, if it is tonal, you know, unless you're speaking Chinese, which is tonal. But if it's tonal, we will call it song. I mean, you know, there are literal, like, #1 rock hits that have, like, 2 notes that repeat themselves over and over. And so there is no wrong. Music is music, and we're good. Oh, by the way, during the explanation of things that you played at the beginning of the show, they said something that I just love, because yesterday you had mentioned how people don't usually taste whatever I said, that you don't taste sound or you don't do whatever it was that I said. And they said that music was a light and it became a beacon of all things or something to that effect. That's how my mind kind of extrapolated it. And I thought that was so beautiful just in concept where music is the birth of all good things. And I was just like, there is something really like that universal about music, whether there's words or not, and it is just lovely. So I that stood out, and I, you know, my mind goes elsewhere. You forget to say things, so you know, half an hour later, there are my thoughts on that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I said people don't usually mix taste and sounds, but the thing with the last show we did. Actually, I'm going to get back to that because I don't know how much Deb has, but put a little plug right in there because I do want to tell you something about the music that was your last show. But I want to say hi to Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Sky. Hey, Priscilla.
How are you?
Hello.
I'm all right. How are you two doing?
Good. We're just talking about stuff. But I just want to put a little plug in there really quick. But I do want to go back to that because I don't know how much time you have. I'm so happy you called in. Can you read? Do you have time for two, or do you want me to read one, or do you want to read two?
I can read them for you. I was just looking at the board. So that, yeah, no, that's cool. Oh, and
so the
I know you sang at one time or another because I still have a recording of you singing in the shower. I don't remember why, but I do.
Oh, I know. I think that was for the non-recorded shows that we used to do on Sunday night. We were just messing around and dropping all singing. But, I mean, yeah. I think I sang in the car out of, like, so that I wouldn't get angry. Whenever I get, like, a lot of, like, when I get angry or, like, have anxiety, music really helps me. So I think when I'm, like, having road rage, I just start singing. I'm late. I don't know. It just, I'm thinking about something, I think that's probably, I found other ways to cope. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably why I don't do it anymore. I probably found other ways to cope. But I think that used to be a coping mechanism for me. If I now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, why did I stop? And I really think it was because of that. Not that I don't like to sing in a car to music, but not making up my own words. I like to bust out in what is that? I'll think of the name when I'm not feeling pressured. All right, Deb. So if you can start with the IOU from yesterday, and that was called Rolling Up. Excuse me, Rolling Up the Doormat Now. and then we'll read that one in comment, and then we'll read the other one in comment, because I don't like doing both at once, if that's okay.
That's fine, yeah. And this is the one I guess it's left over from Pretty Bird's show about being a fool. Right? Okay, yeah, that's what. All right,
yeah.
So this is Rolling Up the Doormat Now. So drop the flowers at my tombstone. And here we go. Wipe feet. Scuff it or stomp on it and tromp it. The doormat lays waiting for you. Mud, grass, and sludge covers it. Dust blows by the garden gate. Down on a stoop's top, a butterfly lands, then boots grind her with treads. Laced wings split, broken pieces drop. High flyer lays flat, with thorax smashed. Dying. Dead. The butterfly is me. Rain spills, then sleep pelts. So do snowflakes and hail, too. Friends smush me with 2 feet. Rolling up the rug now and calling back the circling wagons. Drop the wreaths at my top. Tombstone is crocodile, teardrops drip. Weather slogans are for mailmen. So just scrape me off your feet. End poem.
Excellent piece. And because this is an IOU, I'm going to have Pretty Bird comment first. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Oh, I know this feeling. Wow. You know, first of all, this is like painful and painfully familiar, because anybody who feels belittled or let down, or, you know, even remotely kind of dismissed or invisible or like a burden, you know, it's very much that's what you feel like. Just, you know, sometimes it's a work boot, sometimes it's a piercing stiletto, but in either case, you're mushed into the ground. And it is a hard place to be, because the only reason that hurts is because you care. And, well, and you're broken because, you know, but you're not in that position if you're not, you know, trying to be helpful or being there for somebody or hoping they'd be there for you or in some kind of reciprocal way. And this is wonderfully vivid. It is all things that are emotionally detrimental, the ripping to pieces, the grinding into dust, the you know, just roll it up, we're done. And it's a painful notion that it has to come to, you know, getting the mat out of the way so that it's not stepped on anymore. And but by that time, there's nothing left. And it changes who you are. It changes how you define yourself. It changes how you trust people. It changes who you thought you were. It is a big stinking deal. And to the people that do the crushing, they may not even notice because they're idiots anyway. Because, you know, I would like to think that the majority of people that have the slightest bit of empathy will go out of their way not to do that to somebody, you know. But then again, I'm also just a fool, so maybe life doesn't work that way. But this is wonderfully vivid, and I am so glad that you brought it.
Thank you so much. Great comment.
Great poem.
Excellent comment. And, yeah, and I like the way that you kind of did this in the poem and in the form. And then you go right in the white sheet, and I liked the metaphor of that butterfly. And you bring in all these, you know, stomp on it, stuff it, a doormat. And then halfway through or most of the way through, I mean, you're talking about this butterfly, but at one point you just so forwardly say, you know, the butterfly is me. Like, and there's one thing about telling a story. In poems, there's, you know, I always tend to say the speaker because you can't just always assume it's a personal piece. But when you speak, when the speaker talks about the butterfly, you're looking at it as like this other creature. But then when so blatantly the butterfly is me, there's such a personal aspect that it brings to it at that point. Kind of like drops it down a little bit and says, it's me, and the rain spills. And I don't know, for me, it just, at that point, it becomes a little bit more personal as well, not just speaking of a metaphor, but something very tangible. And so I really liked that shift and that you put that in there. And, yeah, I mean, it really, it's a hard and awful place to be when you feel like you're not even worth, you know, you're worth basically just what people scrape off their boots, and that's what it can feel like sometimes if people are treating you as such. So really well done, and I thought it was perfect for the topic yesterday. Thank you. All right, Deb, you can go right into your next one.
Okay. Appreciate the comments, ladies, and let me go back to the board. Okay, and this one was to a quote. The quote is, "Many are the strange chances of the world," said Mirthrandor, "and help oft shall come from the hands of the weak when the wise falter." And something about that gave me sort of a feel like the ant in the rubber tree type of thing, where something so small could make changes. And what, anyway, so it led me to that damn yellow pollen powder that's everywhere. And it's called "As Yellow Pollen Helps Color the World." Breezes blow, excuse me, breezes blow green leaf crowns that cap the trees, and the gusts spread seeds with their lifting whorls. Sprouted saplings are reforesting the woodlands so trees grow to hold nesting birds and squirrels. the wind transports yellow pollen powders on air. All of those gentle breezes fill the air with music, too. With each wind concerto that sows seeds on earth, then wildflowers burst in shades of pink and blue. Those colors mark the world and perfume the wind, heated by sun's rays as their goldenrod hue glows. Little seeds sprout, then powdery pollen pollinates from apple trees and orchards to the clover meadows. End poem.
Beautiful. And I love that you brought, let me make a comment first before I go on a deep end. Today, someone had mentioned to me it was the highest pollen count or something about the pollen count. And, I'm not feeling 100%, but also with all this pollen, I'm like dying. And so it's kind of ironic that you chose this poem today to share. I mean, you wrote this, did you write it today? Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I just think it's just funny how things all come together. I mean, it's wonderful. We need to pollinate our trees and our flowers, and it's a wonderful thing, but some of us are dying. And I just love that you put in this. The way that you describe it, the sprouted saplings are reforesting the woodlands so trees grow to hold nesting birds and squirrels. I love nature poems. I'm pretty sure you know that. I do all those picture contests and nature poems, and maybe it was my love for frost growing up, but nature poems are, I really love every kind of poem, but I love nature poems. And I like how you bring in the music, and we were just talking about music, and I think the themes of this show and the idea of this book in particular and how Pretty Bird said it comes into so much into our lives. I love that you put with each wind concerto, because even though you wrote to a quote that was done by Mithrandor, which, by the way, before Gandalf was called Gandalf by the people, he was a Maiar, and we'll get into that, and his name was Mithrandor. So that's actually Gandalf who's that quote from. It's just him before he got his other name. And so I love that you kind of just brought in the music, like I said, and the wildflowers and the colors, and the little bits of alliteration with the powdery pollinates. I thought that was really cool too. Really well done, Deborah. Thank you.
Thanks so much. I'm glad you liked it. And yeah, it's kicking my ass too. It was all over my car. And it's only, 2 days into spring? Ha ha. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I went to go make a comment, and then I went off on another thing, and I just said I did that. So even though you wrote a quote from Mithrandor, the fact that you brought in each wind concerto, it's also paying homage to Manwë, because he is in all the winds. So really well done. Pretty Bird, what do you think?
I think that this is a lovely view on how, the greenery around us cycles through. Because I never really contemplate it much since I had my second, because he's got, allergies. These allergies make his eyes bleed. He looks like he's got Ebola. It's not okay. And it's funny because he's out of town with my husband. And it's also orange blossom season. And so the air is sweet and beautiful, and he is dying. And he is not around me, and I can't feel like you need this pill and this and these drops and this and this, that. So I'm freaking out a little bit, because that's where I live in pollen for the last however old my kid is, because he's going to be 20. Holy crap, he's going to be 20. Anyway, so this brought me back to a time before his horrible allergies, where it was just, some red eyes and some nasal stuff and a couple of Benadryl, and I was fine. Back to where the orange blossoms are beautiful, and oranges are my favorite fruit. So this is the beginning of the cycle that's going to lead to that. And it's, and you look at the bees, and you look at the butterflies, and you look at all of these things, and they're all in this symphony, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that I had not thought about since it equaled possible death for my kid. So I appreciate that, because you never really think of the things you don't think about anymore until you're prompted to think about them. And it's not the best turn of events that, you know, shifted my mind, but it was really nice to be brought back to the, you know, pre-angst beauty of it. And I appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Awesome comment again.
Excellent.
You guys rock.
And I just love your show.
Awesome. I was just going to ask you to do that anyway, so that's perfect.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Deb.
Nice talking to you guys. See you later. Love and respect.
Good night.
Bye, Deb.
Pretty Bird, you know what I was thinking? I probably should have dropped your poem when AP was here so you'd have one more comment besides just me. I could go on and
okay,
on.
Okay, first of all, two things. I was going to say, yes, you give some of, like, the best comments. So a comment from you is like a comment from three people. We're good. Second of all, if nobody comments, I'm not the one that's going to be worried about it. We're good. I'm fine. You know, I'm not that person. We're good.
All right. Okay.
But are you ready for me?
To read?
What? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One second, because I just want to unplug what we plugged real quick, because I wanted to tell you, because you were talking about music. And hold on one second. Sorry. we were talking about music, and I just wanted to tell you that in the first show, in the Silmarillion Volume 1, I had done the music of Einar. So what that is, because I just thought you should know, that in the beginning of this book, the world was created by music. So Eru Iluvatar is like the one holy being. And from his thought, he gave life to the Varda, right? So in each Varda is a piece of him, and only one piece of his thought, and he had created this, he put this music in motion, and then all the Varda and their pieces put all their music into his big, larger piece of the music, so they each lent their music, and then Melkor, who will eventually be Morgoth, right, he was in discord, so he went against the whole music, and he ends up, he ends up not being a Varda anymore, and that's where the whole center of evil comes into the Middle Earth, because right from the beginning, he didn't want to be ruled, he wanted to rule, kind of like the fallen angel, kind of like that, but the whole idea of they each played part in the music, and then when they were done, he showed them what they created, and it was the world. So I thought that since you missed that, you might just want to know that that's the idea of the foundation of this world that he created.
Yeah, they briefly touched on it in your synopsis at the beginning, and which I found amazing. So I loved the more the details of it, because it, like I said, it only touched on it, but the whole idea that music works, you know, everything is glorious to me. I don't trust people who don't like some kind of music. I mean, I don't care what kind of music you like, so long as something resonates. It's like, I don't trust people that don't like music or animals, you know? Like, if you've got a problem with something fuzzy and whatever, yeah, no, I there's something wrong with you, and no. Like, you don't have to go loving on them. You don't have to touch them.
I love animals. But I am so allergic but I don't care. So it's like I have these friends and I go over their So I go
yeah,
over.
Yeah, but their cats have no hair.
My best friend, my godchildren's mother, has two hairless cats. And it's not the hair, it's the oil from their skin. Because if I pet them and then rub my eyeballs inflame. So it's the oil from the skin. Yeah, it's not okay. So I have other
friends. So they need to be in sweaters.
I know, they are really, really cute. One's named Stitch, and oh my gosh, it's Stitch and not Gollum. Who's the other one?
See, that would be.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh! I don't tell them I forgot their names. I get back to you on that. Oh my gosh! But my other two friends, they're married, and I go over to their house a lot. Where we go camping a lot, and they have a shepherd, a German shepherd, and a pit bull. And I love them to death, but I'm so allergic. So, but they're like all over me every time I'm there, and like they don't let anybody watch them. Like if besides her mom, so when they go away for the weekend, they'll only let me go to their house to like walk, or stay at their house to dog sit. Like they don't let anybody. They're rescue dogs, and you know. But anyway, I usually take an allergy pill every time I'll go over there, and then I'll bring them for the days that I'm over there. And I went over there one day, and my friend and I were going to this, like, boot camp fitness thing in the morning, and I forgot my pill. And so in the morning, my arms started breaking out in hives. Like, they were just hives. My face was, like, I was all, like, teary-eyed and red. And we were supposed to be going. So I was like, oh, my God, I forgot my allergy meds. And then she was like, oh, well, I have Benadryl. And I had never taken Benadryl before. I don't remember it. Maybe when I was younger, but I just don't think I've ever taken it. Because I'm pretty strict on I like a certain type of allergy med. So I took two, but I didn't know you weren't supposed to take two.
they only work if I take six.
Well, it was not okay. We got to the workout boot camp thing. And they do circuit training. So you have like eight different stations, and you have to do a certain amount of reps. So you might be deadlifting like a kettlebell for 20 seconds on, 5 seconds off, 20 seconds on, and then you move to the next station, and you do these stations. So I'm trying to do all these stations, and I'm so high. Like, I was so done. And the guy came over at me, and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, well, yeah, I took some meds and some Benadryl, and I'm feeling a little bit woozy. And he's like, yeah, I thought you might have taken something. And you might want to sit down. But yeah, it's okay. So then at the end, after the whole thing, they're like, oh, do you want to do the abs? And that's the worst part. I hate that part. And I'm looking at my friend, and I'm telling her with my eyeballs, no, we don't want to stay for that. And she's like, yeah, because she didn't get it. So she didn't care. So then we were sitting there, we were doing the ab work, like the floor work, which I hate, is the worst part. And then I was so done. And then we got in the car, and she was like, do you mind if I just run to the store? I'm like, yeah. By the time she got back, I was asleep. I passed out in the car. So we don't do Benadryl. That's the whole story.
I find for my kid with the allergies, what works best for him is either 12-hour or 24-hour Allegra. Not the Zyrtec, not the Claritin. The Allegra is wonderful for him. There is no sleepy side effects. Benadryl, by the way, is what they put in double doses in Tylenol PM. And there's also the NyQuil with the Z's. That is all Benadryl. That's all that is. Benadryl does not put me to sleep. It makes my mind race, and it makes me uncomfortable. And and if they push it via IV, they have to do it really, really, really slow, because I can't concentrate. I'm 2 seconds away from being nauseous, and it lasts for hours. So I'm like, nope, push it slow. Thank you very much. Because I'm allergic to like all the things. And so they're constantly with the steroids and the IV Benadryl and the whatever. But in order for me to do it orally, for it to counteract an actual allergic reaction, I need a stupid amount of Benadryl, because A, it works slowly, and B, it just doesn't do it for me. And I'm allergic to everything. Not like my kid, like definitely allergic, but you know, if like a mosquito bites me on the arm, that entire arm and part of my chest will have giant hives that are like six times bigger than the actual bite. you know, and if more than one bites me, my whole entire body will break out. It's and they burn like fire. Fun stuff.
That's awesome.
I'm having the fun side effects for things. Yeah.
She's allergic to the sun. She breaks out in hives when she's out in the sun.
Haven't been able to go full sun in about 10 years because it is so painful. It is so painful. Like, I can feel it burning. Like, it's not just, oh, it's so warm. It used to be warm. I used to bask. I used to be, you know, I'm a water baby, and so I was constantly in the sun by the beach, whatever. I promise you, if I'm in the sun more than, like, 30 seconds, it is causing me pain.
I don't know when that started,
but it's unfortunate.
You
live in, like, a frozen tundra.
Well, it's warm out here. We were rocking the 59s today. Yesterday we were at 68. It was so
it was 93
exciting.
Degrees.
We just had a snowstorm.
Yes.
I got
59 is our winter.
We just got a snowstorm last Thursday, in the middle of April, in the beginning of April, and we got 15 inches on the first day. I stopped counting after
crazy.
That.
Oh, look, the universe said April Fool's.
Yeah. What was Thursday? Was Thursday April Fool's? Was that?
No.
No.
But, you know, timing isn't
Thursday.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, it was close enough to be April Fool's. So, but, yeah, everybody lost power except for me. I had everybody over my house. My house is filled with children and people because I never lose power. But, yeah, it's good. All right, well, I like Zyrtec, and I'm sorry you're allergic to everything. I am lucky enough I'm not allergic to any foods. I'm only allergic to animals, which really sucks because I really do like them, so I just take a bunch of Zyrtec before I pet any of them. And I'm mostly okay unless
I
start rubbing my eyeballs. There, it's like really bad. And then sometimes if they lick me, like I get hives. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. And then just like fake silver and gold and some like herbal essences. It's just too. I can't use that. It's just too perfumey. So my skin's a little sensitive to like perfumey stuff. But I'm not really allergic to anything. Thank goodness. Knock on wood. Like nothing.
I have outdoor allergies. I don't have any food allergies. I'm supposed to be. I'm allergic to a lot of meds, a lot of medical things, latex, whatever, and iodine, like contrast iodine. And everybody keeps asking me, am I allergic to shellfish? No. So the first time I went full anaphylaxis, where they're shooting me up with 7 syringes full of crap in the middle of the ER, I do not recommend that. I mean, that's just a no. They're like, are you allergic to shellfish? No. And they're like, are you sure? Really? I don't know what I can eat. This is what you're asking me in a time like this, and I can barely talk because my tongue is, like, you know, suffocating me, but thanks. So when I was all done with that hospital experience, I went right to Red Lobster with my EpiPen, and I said, listen, I'm going to order all the things, and we're going to this Red Lobster because it's next to the hospital, and just keep an eye out. And no, I'm not allergic. I can eat it all day long. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I had to tell. I mean, not the smartest way to go about it, you know. But
they have tests for that.
Well, you know, I'm also supposed to have an A++ allergy to dust mites. My pillow can kill me any day because my allergist is all like, listen, you're going to be fine until you're not. And when you're not, it's going to be bad. I'm like, thanks for my nightmares. Appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. They have, like, those hypoallergenic.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah.
I would be up with that. Dust mites. Any soft surface, they will be in there. I'm constantly having to steam everything, and I'm lazy, so that doesn't happen anymore. I'm like, it's okay. If I'm going to die, maybe I'll die in my sleep. We're fine.
Have you ever seen the movie Bubble Boy?
Yes, the boy in the bubble?
Yes.
The one with John Travolta?
We're going to put you in a bubble.
Many times. Well, not that bad. But, you know, I self-isolate anyway. So long as it's air conditioned, we're good. So long as there's a door in front of my toilet, I'm fine.
All right. Children of Apollo.
Yes. This was to the quote, well, I don't write much nowadays, but to me, it fit to the quote, their magic is art delivered for many of its human limitations. And I found that to be beautiful because, you know, art is of the gods and we are but mere people. And so I kind of liked the idea of that. And so, and I opened it up somewhere. I guess I'll open it up again because I can't find it. Maybe because I have 50 tabs open because I don't know how to do the one thing. Okay, here we go. Children of Apollo. Everyone is in a mood, happy when unhappy, at home in wistful, lamenting desire. Everyone is emotional, though we truly are emotion. Everyone has a reason to feel what they feel, and some of us feel what we feel what they feel what we would feel what they should feel what we want them to feel. And it is those of us who can feel to the extreme, who can fill up a universe with tears, bleeding hearts, and love. Yes, it is the few who can find the beauty in pain, the joy in sadness, the comfort in the last wistful breeze of the season. The rare few who are gifted with depth of emotion. It is those who we call poets and poems.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that you named it Children of Apollo. Obviously, you obviously know Apollo is the god of poetry. I don't think it's a mere coincidence.
Yes.
I think that you played on that. And I like the way that you go down. And the way that you open, too, everyone is in a mood. And usually when I say to somebody, you're in a mood, I think of that as a little negative, you know, and they can stay in a mood.
Yes.
But really, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And then you go down to how those with a depth of emotion are, and also not only emotion, but the ability to have compassion and the ability to see beauty in every emotion, not just those darker moments. And, you know, it's so easy when people, when they're talking to somebody, and I feel like there's two types of people. They can either just complain about a relationship or, and I don't mean just mean a relationship, but like a love relationship. I mean any relationship, mother, daughter, and any relationship. Or, and complain about like the weather or, and just see all those negative little bits that aren't going the way. And then there's those people that are in the other extreme and, you know, kind of just ignore those darker moments completely and don't ever really give them what they're due, but just live in this, well, this is this and this is, it's sunny out and it's that. And when somebody can go in between those two worlds and kind of love them for what they are and know them what they are, I think, you know, I know that you're a big person on truth, but and telling the truth. I think that no one can tell the truth if they are living in the extreme of one of those emotions, because they do ebb and they do flow. And there
it's just perception.
I'm sorry?
And yeah, it's just perception, and perception is kind of what reality is in any given moment, and it does shift, but none of it is dishonest. It is whatever it is in that moment.
Yeah, and like, if your cup is half full, half empty, it is very much perception. And there are some days, there are some days that I'm just like, I'm going to have a good day. I don't care what happens, I'm going to have a good day. Like, that's it. I'm putting my foot down. I'm having a good day.
Okay, listen, you can only have as much of a good day. You can only command yourself to feel what you feel when things are bombarding you, and then it's more a facade of good than trying to see the good in the bad things. I have a whole cup half full, half empty thing. I don't know if you've heard it. Would you like me to tell you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I liked your poem.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, so people are usually, because this is how it goes, are you're a cup half full or a cup half empty kind of person. I'm like, no, that depends. Because for me, and this is true of all things all the time, you are pouring the water into the cup, and then it is half full. But if you overfill it to the halfway point and you have to pour some out, it is still half full because the intent was, you know, to fill it up, even though you had to pour some out. But if the cup was full to begin with and you're pouring it out to half full, then it's half empty. But if you pour it out too much and you have to refill it to that halfway point, it is still half empty because the intent was to empty it to the halfway point. So it is never just half full or half empty. I'm like, how'd you get there and why?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that was, like, so much information. And I understood it. I don't know how I
followed
that.
But to me, it's logical.
It is, but that was a lot right there.
Yeah. And that's my whole point. That's why people don't understand me, because people are like, half full, half empty. I'm like, no, I need all the things. Let me explain. Because it does not compute, you know? I'm like,
I can't answer
in all of my intelligence and intellectual properties if I do not understand the base of the question. I make things so much more difficult than they have to be, but that's just my normal way of being.
It's okay. We need people like you. I am, I think I'm very optimistic and very, you know, I would say, could find good. I'm usually generally happy until I'm not. And like I'm not is so rare. Not a lot of people even see it, and they don't. And then if they do, they're like, oh, and it's such a drastic change. But it is far in between. But it is like plunging into the depths. And I think that's because like, it's just, there's no gray, you know, there's little gray in that
mm-hmm.
area of mine. So, but my friend, she's like, you're just so happy all the time. But then when I'm not. So like,
that's a beautiful thing.
It's like the depths of despair. Like, it's not just a little grumpy. It is, I am
well,
down.
If you have so much happiness,
but it's not
that it is spanning weeks, then if you spend a day or two in the depths, that's an equal balance, and everything has to balance. So it takes a couple of days of despair to balance out all of that happy and keep the world in a neutral place, because nobody is elated 100% of the time, because that's an inhuman thing, because, you know, ebbing and flowing and all that mess. So to be so full of joy on a regular basis, sometimes that gets tempered, and so there's no middle ground. I mean, that's an understandable thing to me, because most people, you're not most people, I am like the opposite of not most people. Like, I'm like at the other end of that scale than you are, because I am not all the happy all the time. But most people live, you know, on a normal standard deviation bell curve, they live at plus or minus one. So their baseline, if everybody's baseline is zero and they're at plus or minus one, they're not usually elated. And they don't know, they don't dwell in the depths. They feel this mild gradient of emotion between joy and pain. And that's got to be that where ignorance is bliss comes from, because they don't know better. That's just what normal people do. They have this amount of joy, they have this amount of pain, it evens out, it's fine. But I swear to you, most people that I have ever met, if they felt the elation that I feel for others, because it's usually not for myself, and the depths of the pits of hell that pain can cause, the way I tend to wallow in it, it would break them. It is not meant for everybody. And this is why, to me, not everybody is creative and artistic on a soulful scale. Everybody can create. Everybody can find an outlet for that. But for those of us who tap in and bleed out in whatever art form it is, it is a release. It is catharsis. It is something that has to be done, because otherwise there's no trying to find any kind of equilibrium between those highs and those lows, you know? So I love that you have that natural, you know, I'm assuming because it's so few and far between, like in between that sadness, that depth would, you know, balance out all of that joy to keep the universe, you know, on, you know, from tipping the scales one way or the other, because not for nothing, tipping them good or tipping them bad, it's going to have a backlash in one way overall on the grand scheme of things. So, you know, balance is good. However that works out.
Balance is good. I'm not always good with balance.
I have a lot of theories on nonsense. Don't mind me.
No, that's good. But a good thing, I have been told I'm not that annoying happy. So, I mean, I do have that. My friends could just be saying that, but my friend who said that, she's like, it's not that annoying happy. She's like, it's the good kind of happy. So I'm glad I'm not the annoying happy. But,
that annoying happy is that perkiness that comes from being saccharine sweet and trying to be happy and putting a bit of falsehood in that happy because you feel the need to be happy. You're just happy because that's who you are. And so there's a difference between that saccharine and that honey. And I'm just saying.
I'm glad you're a talker, because I hate when I'm the only one talking. It's nice to have a conversation. Sometimes when people, they get a little worried on that, you know. That's why I'm like, I didn't have any poems on my board, and I'm like, I don't really care. I mean, I love having poems, but if I have three poems, I'm okay. But that's why I said you can switch them to mine, because I my shows tend to be lighter. I think some people see my topic board and they're like, oh gosh, I don't know that, and they click out.
Okay, they're a little scary.
Okay. But
I was
really,
like,
you could take
like
one
picture,
line.
So I have to read all this. I was like, I have to study. Wait a second.
My topic building is literally just because of my my hyper focus on doing things in a completeness. And I don't necessarily need anybody to read everything. And I don't need them to write about the character specifically. I tell them I'm so open. I'm like Apollo, this is the god of, you're bringing in Greek mythology, and a lot of what Tolkien did was based off of Greek mythology, so it's relatable. Like, that is how open I am to poems being related to my topic. But you would never know that because of my topic boards. And I realize that, so I always try to say it. But my topic boards are, it's my own problem. It's my own need to have it complete. And complete. I don't know. So I know.
Something
little
on the board. It's not a poem or anything. It's just a picture, because you're like, you know, you hyper-focus and you have this trail of things you hyper-focused on and left behind. Okay, when I no lie, I made the center of this thing like a month ago. And now I'm blocking it, so don't mind the little white lines when I put it up on the board. They don't belong there. This is just the center of a blanket, and I cannot move on to do the rest of this blanket until this smooths out. So I have to, what's called blocking, to make it smooth, because you know, all the points want to curl. So I have to fix it so I can measure it so I can do the things. And I just have been doing so many other things because new yarn and new this and new that and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. So I'm finally back to a month ago trying to do this. And so I'm going to show this to you just so that you know I understand with all the things and all the brain and having to do stuff. So I'll get that on there. But feel free to read. It'll be there when you're done reading.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, this one is Yavanna. We're not actually doing Yavanna yet, but it mentions Manwe, so I'm going to do this one. But Yavanna is one of the other Varda. But this goes, Varda. She likes wild spring tree blossoms, sunny mornings and daffodils, the lark that blends her song in the high halls of Manway's hills, the mystery that gathers in each pearl of dew, as if the tears of Olmo never bid adieu. End poem. So, a little nature.
Oh, you see, that's lovely. And I'm still trying to upload this thing, so I'm not even looking at your poem. Give me one second.
Okay.
I have to find my... I thought, you know, usually I'm really, really quick, but all poetry today is saying, I don't want your picture up there. So sorry, no. Did you take that picture?
No. That was
is that a Monday night prompt.
Yeah, that was a Monday night prompt one.
That's lovely.
It is. I really love that.
Yes, it's beautiful. I love when you do brevities. I mean, I love all your poems. But sometimes think they're getting across what they, something profound or something deep or something lovely. And they don't quite find the turns of phrases to you know, that fully indicate the depth of what they mean. And you've never had that problem, you know? There is something about this that makes me want to love being outside in spring. And I don't do nature because nature hates me, not because I don't enjoy nature. I love that, the mystery that gathers in each pearl of dew. You know those when you see these movies that start with an image and they back up and you end up seeing that they're like one of a million little drops of dew on the morning grass or whatever it is, and you realize that each one of those has kind of the same image but different because it's in a different spot, so it's just a degree off here or there, yada yada yada, blah blah blah, and there is something about that it's almost like layers of time or layers of a place where you're in the same place but something's a little bit off, and there's something beautiful about that everything is different, and that is what perception reads like to me, where each one of the, well, perception and perspective and all of the things, but each one of those dots is experiencing the same thing at the same time, but it's each its own. And there's something really beautiful in that. And the mystery that gathers in each pearl of dew just kind of really had me in a field of morning wet leaves that kind of sparkle like diamonds as the sun crests. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's just one of your little lines here, and most people can't get that in an entire shorter poem. So I love the way you turn a phrase. It is quite stunning.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to put this up. It finally loaded.
Hello,
okay.
Hatter.
Did it not go up?
I refreshed it. I don't see it.
I don't either, but it was just there. Like I saw it.
Try again.
The button. Oh, Lord, it's just a blanket. Well, it's 2 feet at the center of a blanket that I can't finish the rest of the blanket until it's square. So it's driving me nuts. Hence the whole thing.
Are you giving up on putting it on the board?
No, I am. Huh? I'm trying to do it again.
Okay.
I'm here trying to do it again.
My new obsession right now is houseplants. So I've taken to name them all because I'm super weird. So I've always killed, historically, I've killed every plant I had. But I've actually only lived by myself for 7 years. I always lived with housemates. And then I lived with my ex. So I think in 2017 was the first time I actually lived alone. And my apartment was a studio that I lived in. And it didn't have good light. And I'm pretty sure I had it, like, it was a beautiful view. It was right off the waterfall, but I'm pretty sure there was a lot of water damage. So, like, plants just, it was not, they did not thrive in that environment. And so since I moved into a new apartment and I have these beautiful tall windows with all this light coming in, my new obsession is houseplants. So I'm starting to get all these different houseplants and I've named them all, and that's my new obsession. They're very cute.
Well, that's awesome. We have a caller.
Oh, I've got it. I've got it. Ooh, I like the colors. We got it.
Oh, these colors.
Oh! Hi, Rack and Tor.
Speaking of naming houseplants, huh?
How are you?
I'm awake. Sorry.
Rise and shine. It's okay. You know, I was so happy that Pretty Bird went on at 9 yesterday. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's out at 9. She's out at 9. I'm going to be able to come at the start of the show, and I'm going to be there, and it's going to be exciting. It's 9 o'clock. And then I fell asleep on the couch because I was very comfortable, and it's very hard not to fall asleep when other people are falling asleep, other little things are falling asleep. And you're like, oh. And then...
Sometimes your body does what it does, you know?
And then the two of you are falling asleep. So that's why I was late yesterday. But that is... She's showing me this beautiful... So what's wrong with the square?
Okay, when you turn a blanket to be, you know, with a square, 90 degrees inside of a square... it buckles at the inner corners. It wants to bubble up and be whatever because you need smaller stitches to then turn the entire piece like that. And so you have to flatten it out and block it and wet it or steam it or do whatever you're going to do depending on the fiber to make that flat so that the sides stay exactly the size that they need to be to add on to. So that's what I was doing. It was sitting there for like a month. It's crazy.
That's such an amazing talent. I love people that can do that. I just don't have any patience for that. I mean, that's just absolutely brilliant that you're able to create that with your hands, you know?
Oh, it's
amazing to me.
It's funny. I was sitting here. I hand-dyed yarn, and I made Sweet a blanket. Well, I made a blanket. Then I'm like, I'm going to give this a Sweet. So I made it as tall as she is. And so it's a square, and I just made it up as I went, just all the stitches and all the squares and all the thing and all the whatever, and it's so pretty. I'm so excited. But this has nothing to do with me. We're talking Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Listen, Rackentor knows it best that sometimes I go off on an oh my gosh, I'm having. Such a hard, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm having such a hard time pulling words today out of my brain. I don't usually take NyQuil, but I think I'm going to take some NyQuil tonight. And I usually don't because I'm usually drunk. I'm usually like have a hangover in the morning. But maybe I'll just take a little. Maybe it's just a little. I don't know. Like NyQuil is potent.
Is it still 25% alcohol?
I don't know. I usually only get DayQuil. I usually take DayQuil in the morning and at night. Like I usually never get NyQuil, but apparently I had gotten NyQuil and I didn't realize it, and I took it as DayQuil one day and I didn't even notice. But like,
oh, that's not good.
Now I well, no. But so I had NyQuil in my cabinet now forever because I didn't take it again after that because I was like, oh, I don't want that because I usually don't take it, but. I think today is going to be the day. do you want to share a poem, Rackentor? Do you got something? Or are you just coming? We've got like 10 minutes.
I just came to hang out. I got nothing as far as poetry tonight for Middle Earth and your lovely quotes about the universe.
Oh, I have. Well, your presence is enough. Rackentor. But I have one more song I forgot. But it's just an outtake. Pretty Bird, you wanna see pictures of my plants? No, I'm not.
Sure.
Yeah, right. All right, hold on.
picture plants.
I'm like way. All right, so I played Snow White. Okay, this is 15 seconds.
Ariel de Rescue Toniel, Sidivren Penamiriel o Menel Aglar Elenas, Nahaired Palandiriel o Galas Remmin Enorath, Panuilos, Lelinathon, Nevaya, Si Nevayaron.
Just kidding. It's not a song. It's Tolkien reading a poem. Wait, what's that?
That came out of nowhere.
Just kidding. That's really what it was supposed to be.
And as the mummies rise.
Oerberesgil soniel, silievren penamiriel. Omenel agla elenas, na haired palandiriel. O galas remen enoras, fanuelos lelinathon. Ne fire, sine fireon.
That's the right one. Isn't it beautiful? I love it. Love it. All right, Rack and Tour, what have you been up to? I have no more poems. That's it. We're just talking now.
I thought you had two.
I didn't have two poems. I only had one poem.
Are you sure you only had one? I could have sworn you had two.
No. But look at, okay, this one, the tall one is, did you press refresh?
No, but I will now.
So I'm going to have to.
Oh, that's, okay. That little fat cactus is my favorite of all the cacti. I had one that had a tuft of hair like Don King right in the center, all the little tufts of fluff on the side, and then one big one in the middle.
Oh, my God. All right, so, Raconteur, you're looking at a tall hedgehog cactus. I don't know if you know the hedgehog, but it's a tall one.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Walter, all right, because he looks like a Walter to me. And then
Walter Matthau.
Matthau what?
Walter Matthau.
Oh, I don't know. She looks so
stuffy. Oh, my
stuffy.
God, you're so young.
Know.
Tell her.
He's a dark-haired one and grumpy old men.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh wait. He plays
I'll go back
Mr. To... whatever.
Yes, and Dennis the Menace.
I'll go back even further. He was one of the original characters in Taking a Pelham 1, 2, 3.
That's not going to help her if she can't remember, you know, decades past.
Excuse me. I know a lot of old things.
And I'm one of them.
Is that red thing some kind of flower, too?
It's a cactus. So the oh, my God. The little one, the little ball one, it's called, I actually can't even say what it's called because I don't know the real, like. I can't read that. No, it's not a barrel. But his name is Norbert, all right? Because he looks like a Norbert. And the pink one is a cactus, too, and I don't know what kind of cactus that is. But her name is Persephone.
That looks like a coral. Persephone?
Yeah. So.
That is fabulous. That's what I call my car.
Is it really?
It's a black Lincoln with a black interior. And so, you know, she is the queen of the underworld. I call her Percy.
Oh, I love it. I don't, it does look like a coral, but it's actually a cactus. All right, this is Rick Rack, and his name's Rick Rack because it's a Rick Rack cactus.
Okay, that is the oddest shaped one I have ever seen. Usually they look like the long protrusions. Like this looks like it looks like Wile E. Coyote after the Acme anvil fell on him.
He's just a baby.
Like it's flat.
That's why.
What? Is that what they look like? Because I've only ever seen them, like, the offshoots, and then they get pretty thick and sturdy.
Yeah, and they get...
That is really neat.
Yeah, he's just a little
baby. It's
like
a meandering brook.
And this is Vera. And I'm sure you can figure out how to call it Vera. A little Grogu.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, is that a mug?
It is a mug, but I use it as a pot.
That is awesome.
It's fine.
You have, like, the neatest paintbrushes I've ever seen. It looks like they're just used for background and like, you know, photos.
Oh, those ones are special. Those are actually watercolor paintbrushes. Those are only for watercolors. All right. So then, and then I sent you a picture of Vera, and Zach, can you guess why
she's
called Vera?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that is what she is. She is aloe vera.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. And then. And this is Chip. And if he ever, and I'm still going to have to call him Chip, even if he outgrows this pot or this cup, because that's his name now, and I can't just rename him because I've repotted him, so he's just going to have to stay there. That's Chip.
Oh, my gosh. It's like if Walter and, what's the little fat one? Norbert had a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's kind of exactly what that looks like, yes? Right down to the flower.
Do you have a philodendron?
My mom used to
I have three spider plants. And I'll show you pictures of those after. They're not as readily as accessible as these ones were. Because I just ran contests with these. That's why they're so I can grab them.
Are you
going
to gift the babies to people?
If they want them, I can gift babies.
My mom used to just, you know, they would get to be like almost down to the floor, and she would cut them back 3 feet, and all those little babies she would give to people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good gift.
Like, she just bring them to work. Here you go. Yeah.
Actually, the ones that were someone that I worked with, she gave them as a housewarming. But they're not
Peter
that big yet.
Is the spider plant named Peter Parker?
I haven't named my... that would be really clever. But I haven't actually... The spider plants are the first ones I got, and I have not named them. So they might be a little angry right now. Because I haven't named them, because they were like the guinea pig. I got three of them, and then I said, okay, if these live for 2 months, I will trust myself to get other plants. And then they lived so that I kept getting other plants. So they're probably a little upset right now that I haven't, but that's a good name for them. I have three spider plants, and then I have a peace lily, and then I have some cactuses, and I have some gem. They're like
called gem cactus lily.
I know she's really. I give her coffee grounds. She likes it. I haven't seen her bloom yet though, but I'm excited. And then I've got some moon cactuses, and then I've got this little pothos, but it's not planted yet. It's just in water right now. It's rooting. But I really like the pothos. Like, I
those
just want it to be really big, but yeah. So it's just this little thing. And then I have a Christmas cactus and I think it's a Thanksgiving cactus, but we'll see. Oh no, cause it can't be an Easter cactus cause it would have bloomed. But I think I have a Christmas and a Thanksgiving cactus. I may have gotten a little crazy with the plants. Oh, my goodness. I got to say thank you because we're like, this lady's yelling at me about 90 seconds. Thank you, Pretty Bird, AC Taylor, Severely, Raconteur, Aggress Man, Little Gary. Was there anybody else? I don't think there was anybody else. All for calling and contributing your poetry and for hanging out. And that's it. Right? Thank you.
You need a green brain cactus.
Thank you, Sky.
Did you get a green brain cactus?
A what?
You need a green brain. A green brain cactus. And then when, what's his name in Grogu's head?
Oh, Rick Rack. Yeah, Rick Rack is going to outgrow that. Definitely.
Yeah, so when he does, you can put the brain cactus in there because it needs to be in there.
The brain
cactus?
Because
it's a green brain. It's called a green brain cactus, and it looks like a brain, and it would be perfect inside of Grogu's open head.
Okay, I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to see what I can do. The Rick Rack is the only one that is not doing well. He is not doing well. And I read about it, and they need, like, a really moist, warm environment, and my house is super drafty, and I like it cold. So it is not – I got a light lamp, but – and part of him is doing okay, but some of him is not. It's the only one of my plants that is not – I don't know if Rick Rack's going to make it. I got to be honest with you, but I'm trying. Trying to save him.
I'm sure he'll be okay.
No,
cactus is, you know, well, they did you overwater him?
They're hardy.
No.
Yeah,
but I think
he'll be
just,
all right.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Have they done any studies for them to see what kind of music they like?
I'll look that up.
Because I know
I'm
a lot of fruits and vegetables. Yeah, love, you know, different kinds of music.
I'm gonna sing to them. I mean, and part of them, half of them looks great. The part that's coming up, the rickety rackety part, it's just that little, like, that little road one, the one that you said looks like a little wavy road. That one is getting a little brown. It's just, all right. This is one of my Christmas cactuses. That's the last one I'll show you. You actually can't see it that well, but I just love the rainbow. And then I probably should put posing music in here.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That's my window. I have a window decal, and so that's how the sun, when the sun comes up, that's what it looks like on my wall.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a giant eyeball, like a dragon's iris.
That's
gorgeous.
I just like the rainbow, like the color, and it almost it's perfect on the little edge.
Yeah, but then it's got that like that white like oblong slit like the center. That's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, I see that. All right, I will share some more plants with you at a different show. Thank you guys so much for calling
in.
I'm going to go take some NyQuil.
My pleasure.
And I'm going to play as soon as my I have an outtake song. So as soon as my studio starts working. Is it going to let me do something? Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. So I already talked about the music in the beginning because it's the same thing, but not the same song. Right. Okay. Somebody say a joke. Back and forth. This is.
I don't have a joke.
The shine. Yeah, right. All right, here we go. Okay, close. Here we go. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for your support.